Well, we have been continuing on along with this series, the idea that God wants more for our life. And I really believe that to be true. We spent about 2 months on it so far, so hopefully I believe it's true because we've invested some time in it. But I really do believe that. I believe that God wants more for our life and that He is working in your life to bring about a more prosperous, more fulfilling life, even though He has promised us that in this world we will have trials and tribulations, we can be of good cheer because He has overcome the world, and He wants to teach us to do the same. And so we've looked at many passages of Scripture and many subjects concerning that. This morning we're going to be looking at something that I must admit is a little bit of a soapbox issue for me, so I will try to keep my opinions to myself and really let God's Word speak this morning. But we're going to be talking about identity, and the sermon title is Identify with Christ for More. If we want to have more in our life, if we want to experience the life that God has planned for us, we must find our identity in Christ. We must find who we are to be in Christ. So the question is, what is identity? What does that even mean? Like, my identity. Like, what does that even mean, right? We hear that a lot. I identify as this, that, and the other. But what does it even mean to identify or to have an identity? What does that mean? And it means a couple of different things. But ultimately, it means, what are you the same as? That's really what it means. If we said, somebody came in here and, threw out $1,000 and ran out the door. I was trying to think of something good. Wouldn't that be great if somebody just threw $1,000 into our congregation and ran out the door? Be like, yeah. But what would we say? Who was it? That's the first question we'd ask. Who was that, right? And then people would start to say, well, I don't know, but he was this, he was that, he was this. They would try to give us his identity, and they would say that he is the same as, right? Certain height, certain build, certain hair color, all of that sort of stuff. So our identity is what we are the same as. And there's two aspects to that. One is distinguishing characteristics or personalities of an individual, something that distinguishes you, right? So we could say that I have... what color hair would we say I have? It's kind of a dishwater blonde. That's what I've always called it, right? But I don't have brown hair, and I don't have black hair, right? So we can distinguish people based on characteristics that they have. Tell me some of the things that we would distinguish people based on. What are some characteristics that we would distinguish people based on what? Height, yeah. Complexion, skin color, gender. What's that? Their face? Oh, race, okay. Weight, yeah. It's definitely a distinguishing characteristic for me. What? Occupation, okay. How about personality? What are some personality traits that we would distinguish people based on? Outgoing. Shy. What? Did you say shy? You say it at the same time? Oh, introvert. Angry, right? Some people are very angry, and we know them as being angry people. Giving, kind, right? So, we can identify people by certain characteristics that distinguish them from other people. So that is one aspect of identity. Another aspect of identity is the relation established by psychological identification. Okay? This is where we have a strong psychological attraction to something, and we identify with that strongly, right? So that could be like today we have sexual attraction, right? Some people are attracted to people of the same sex, right? And so they identify as homosexual. We also have gender dysphoria, where people think that they're no longer the gender that they were born as, but they are actually a different gender. And so they call that, what do they call that? Was it? Confusion? I don't remember. What do they call it? Gender identity? That wasn't the word I was looking for. Oh, well, anyway, other things, what's that? Well, that's like the clinical name, but it's not the popular social name. It'll probably come to me later. Anyway, transgender, yeah, that's the word I was looking for. Thank you. Okay, so then we also have a lot of times depression is actually a loss of identity, where people are struggling of who am I, and they don't have really something that they identify with, and so that brings on depression. Another thing is people can be strongly attached to something, like a sports team or something that they do, and they can identify as that. There's actually now people that identify as animals because they have a strong psychological attachment to that person. Okay? We have this kind of explosion of this idea that you can just be anything that you want to be. And if anybody says you can't be it, that's discrimination, right? You're discriminating against me. So the question is, what defines you? What defines you? When you look in the mirror and you see yourself, who do you see? What do you see? Maybe you see a mom, maybe you see a child, maybe you see a boy or a girl, right? We have all these different characteristics that we could use to define us. And some people are strongly attached to their skin color, or what some people would say their race, and so they think of, oh man, that's who I am. I'm black, or I'm white. I'm Indian, or I'm whatever. Some people are strongly attached to their gender, right? And they go out and make a living trying to advance their gender. Or maybe it's a hobby. But different people are very strongly identified with different things. And so we have to ask ourselves, what is it that we are the same as? What is it that we strongly identify with? And if you don't know the answer to that question, another way to put it is this. Who is your brother? Who is your brother? Is it somebody who has the same skin color as you? Is it somebody who has the same favorite sports team as you? Is it somebody who maybe joined the same military service as you? Who is your brother? Who do you identify with on an intimate level? Maybe it's the same person, somebody who has the same parents as you do, right? And your family is something that you strongly identify with. I want to challenge us this morning that our identity should be found only in Christ. Not to say that we're no longer men or women or white or black or all those other things. I'm not advancing that idea. But what I'm saying is that should have so little value in our minds. And Christ, our identity in Christ, should have such great value in our minds that there's no distinguishing, there's no competition between the two. Paul said in Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul is talking about his identity. Who am I now? Now that I've received Christ as my Savior, who am I? And he's answering that question. The old me is gone. It's dead. It's of no value to me anymore. I consider it to be dead on the cross with Christ. And now whatever life I have in this flesh is totally in Christ. And everything that I do is going to be according to his will. He says that even more explicitly in Philippians chapter 3. He says, for we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks that he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Paul is saying, hey, if you want to go toe-to-toe with stock or with status, I got you all beat. I'm the best of the best. I have the best parents, the best family line. You could say what we would say today is privileged. He was very privileged. But what does he say? What things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I might gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I might know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Paul is saying here, I want to be the same as only one thing, Christ. Because I want to be the same in the resurrection of Christ. And so everything in my life, I don't consider of it of any value except Christ. we must understand that our identity outside of Christ is of no earthly value, of no heavenly value. All it is used is to cause division and destruction. God created us all equal. We are equally sinful. We are equally set up for judgment. And there is only one way out of it. Paul says, for the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer for themselves, but those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh. Yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things, old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their sins or trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. God has united us. God has made us the same, one with Christ. And the process of sanctification is working that out in our life, yielding our will to God's will. We must understand that these issues of identity that are coming up in this world today do not have any root in the Christian faith. They don't have any root in the Christian faith. The Christian faith says that when we become Christ's, we take on a new identity. Right? The Lord's Prayer says, Father in heaven, I identify as, right? No, it says, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, right? Not my will, your will. Not my desires, your desires. So who are we now? 1 Peter 2:9 says, for you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. I don't know what your heritage is. And this church is very German heavy. The North American Baptist is very German heavy in its heritage. Boyle is an Irish name. But I can tell you, I don't root for really anything Irish. My favorite color is not green. I don't have any four-leaf clovers over at my house. I don't identify with anything of that sort. Now, I will say I am a Chiefs fan, which some of you guys might know. But that is not my identity. It's just something I enjoy watching. My identity, what I want to be known as, when I walk by and people say, oh, there's that Christian. That's what I want to be known by. There's that guy who's following Jesus as their Lord and Savior. If they say, oh, there's that Chiefs fan, wow, have I failed my Lord and Savior? Because I have become a part of a new nation, a holy nation called by God, God's own special people. Not only are we God's special people, but we are a work of God. Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. God has created us for a special purpose, with a special plan, to accomplish a special mission. And He has invited you into that. Romans 12, 4 and 5 says, For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ and are individually members of one another. Together here, we make up the local body of Christ, Memorial Baptist Church. And each one of us have a role to play. Each one of us are an important part of that body. But across the world, we have the body of Christ, the church. And we have a mission. We have a goal. We have a purpose. And each one of you are to play that part that God has given you. And if we are concerned about other things, if our mind is so worried about other things, we're going to miss out. And let me put it in a little bit more concrete terms to help understand what I'm trying to say. Raise your hand if you're married. I'm married. Okay, if you have your hand up, or had your hand up, okay, you are a spouse, right? You are somebody's spouse, right? That's part of who you are, unless you get divorced, which I don't recommend at all, okay? But unless that happens, or your spouse dies, and don't kill him either, okay? You're married, you're a spouse, okay? But the importance of our identity as a spouse should be down here compared to the importance of our identity as a follower of Christ. That should be way up here. Now, are you saying, Pastor, that I shouldn't care about my wife anymore? I should just like go on missions trips all the time? Just like, bye, honey, I'm on another missions trip, right? No. What I'm saying is, when you identify as a follower of Christ and you live your life in 100% congruence with that, you will be a much better spouse than if you tried to be on your own the very best spouse you could be. Does that make sense? If you're a parent, and you're trying to be the very best parent you can be instead of the very best follower of Christ that you can be, you're going to fail. Because you're trying to figure out on your own and do things on your own. But instead, God has called us into a new purpose, into a new way. And that is the way of Christ. And when we walk in that way, then we are blessed. I want to close with this passage. I think it's really important. Hebrews 11, 13 through 16. Hebrews 11 is the hall of faith. I would highly recommend you go home and read it if you haven't read it before. Hebrews 11 is the Hall of Faith. It's a list of people who have done amazing and awesome things because they trust God. But halfway through that chapter, we have this little section, Hebrews 11, 13 through 16. And it says, these, talking about the people, all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were assured of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland, and truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out of, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. We should be of like mind. We should have our orientation heavenward, so focused our mind on heavenly things that the challenges of this world are a distraction not worthy to be focused on. We should be so focused on getting people into that place called heaven that we are not distracted by all the problems of this world. But what did Christ say? In this world you will have tribulation. And so we must understand how to understand these problems of identity. Our identity, to a degree, is what we make it. To a degree, it's based on facts, right? So there is a degree of truth in both of those things. But if we want to help people, if we want to see people grow and be fruitful and have peace in their life, it's not going to be by changing your gender. It's not going to be by going out and doing inappropriate things. It's going to be found by yielding your will to God's will and following Him every step, every day. And if we can help others grow into that understanding, this world will be a much better place. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, there's so much confusion in this country about what is hateful, what is wrong, what is good, what is real, what is not real, what is true. And Lord, you have laid out in your word that which is true, that we are created by you, and that we are put together in the womb by you. And so, Lord, our identity, our gender, or whatever those things might be, those are gifts from you. And people who reject it are strongly telling us that they are hurting, that they are confused. And so, Lord, we should go to those people and show them the truth of your word. That the only way to find peace in this life, the only way to find hope in this life, is to identify as your son. To yield ourselves of our own desires and to follow you. Lord, to put our will on the cross, our passions on the cross, and let them die. And then to take up your life. which was lived in perfect sameness, oneness with the Father. And so, Lord, help us to live that out in our life so we might have the prosperity, the peace, the fulfillment that you have desired for us, so that we might accomplish that which you want to accomplish in us. Lord, it is only by your word that our plans will succeed. Lord, help us to not only understand that in our own life, but also to speak that truth into others as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.